Again, today is Shabbos, Daf Pei Gimel. We are on Pei Beis Amid Beis, just to get us back into the flow of things. The Mishnah said, back on Pei Beis Amid Aleph, Amar Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva taught, Inayin La'avodah Zarah Shematam V'masa Kenidah. How do we know that an idol, if you carry it, it makes you impure the same way a woman who's a Nida, a woman who's had a discharge of menstrual blood and she has the impurity of Nida, if you carry her, you become impure. If you pick her up on your shoulder, you would become impure. Shanamar, the answer is, Tizareim kmo dava, throw them out. The prophet says that God is going to reject the Jewish people. Throw them out like a woman who has a flow of Nida. So tse tomar lo, go tell him to leave. So that linkage is to say, my Nida mitam b'masa, just like the Jews were being thrown out of the land of Israel for the sin of idolatry. And it's comparing it to Nida. So just like a Nida creates impurity by being carried, Avodah Zarah metam b'masa. So Avodah Zarah creates impurity when you carry it. Now, this is not a verse in Chumash. This is a verse in Navi. So that's not normally where you learn drashos from. Right? Normally you learn laws from psukim, from verses in Chumash. This is a verse in the Navi. So it's not really, as we'll see into the end of today's daf, it's not a real drasha. This is all a din d'rabbanan. There's rabbinic law that idolatry, an idol, creates impurity. But sometimes when we have a rabbinic law, there are verses in the prophets that hint to the rabbinic law, and then it's called Divrei Kabbalah. So it's a rabbinic law that's stronger than a typical rabbinic law. A typical rabbinic law is just in the age of the Mishnah. When you have a rabbinic law that has some connection to the prophets, so that's stronger, and that type of rabbinic law actually is different. And in certain ways, it's like a biblical law, so we apply to it the norms of interpreting verses, etc. So again, the Gemara says, we have a verse comparing Avodah Zarah to Nida. That was the Mishnah. And then we saw later in the Gemara that there are also verses comparing Avodah Zarah to Shratzim, to the impurity of dead rodents. So let's start here, back on Pei Beis Amid Beis. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 lines before the bottom of the page on Pei Beis Amid Beis. Rabbi Elazar Merleza says, Be'evan Misma, in regards to the impurity of sitting on a stone. Let's say there's a stone on a footstool, and underneath the footstool, underneath, right, there's a stone on top of a tripod of three legs, and underneath this stone there's empty space, and in that empty space you have a bunch of utensils. So there's a special law that if Anita sits on the stone, those empty utensils underneath her become impure. That's a special law of Evan Misma. So Rabbi Elazar says, Evan Misma to Kuli Amalo Pligid Lomatama. Rabbi Elazar says, everybody agrees in regards to Evan Misma that there would not be an idol, wouldn't be able to create that type of impurity. Ki Pligi, where is the argument? Bimasa, whether an idol can create impurity when you carry it. Rabbi Akiva Sav, Rabbi Akiva holds Kenida. An idol is like a Nida. So not Nida Metama Bimasa, just like when you carry a Nida, you are impure when you carried her. Af Avodah Zarah Metam B'masa. So since Avodah Zarah was compared in this verse in the Navi to Nida, so if you carry an idol, you also become impure for carrying the idol. However, Rabbanan Sarv, the Rabbanan disagree with Rabbi Akiva. They compare it to Sheretz, and they say like a Sheretz, Masharetz Lo Metam B'masa, just like a dead rodent, if you carry it, right? Let's say you have a package on, and on top of the package, a dead rodent. So you're moving the dead rodent, you're transporting the dead rodent. That doesn't create impurity. So too, if you transport an idol, it doesn't create impurity. Okay, so now the Gemara asks, Rabbi Akiva, why would Avodah Zarah be compared to a dead rodent if it doesn't create impurity? If it's not like a dead rodent, it's only like a Nida, so why is it compared to a dead rodent? Answer the Gemara, it's compared to a dead rodent to say that which services the Avodah Zarah, that the implements of the Avodah Zarah, that which services the idol, has the impurity of a dead rodent. If you touch them, you become impure, but if you carry them, you don't become impure. Rabbanan, now according to the Rabbanan, Lamai Hilchas Yiskash Lenida, they who say that Avodah Zarah is like a dead rodent, in what way is it still compared to a Nida? So they'll tell you like this, Manida in a Levar, just like a Nida, if you cut her up into pieces, let's say somebody would cut a piece of the Nida off, and now carry the piece of the Nida. So that's carrying a piece of a living being, but it's not, there's no impurity of Nida there. So too, in regards to Avodah Zarah, there wouldn't be any law of Avodah Zarah in regards to pieces, says the Gemara.
So,
A question? Yeah. Somebody has a question.
So anything underneath that stone.
Yeah.
On the ground will be tameh if some tameh sits on that stone.
If a nida sat on it, yeah.
Okay, so now how about if if some of that items they were like halfway into the earth, like pushed down. Okay, would it be a still tameh too?
Nice question. Yeah, it has to be attached to the earth for something to not be able to become impure. So a house is...
If you take a utensil and put half of it in the ground...
Doesn't help you.
Underneath that stone, it wouldn't get tameh?
No, it's still tameh.
Still tameh?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, isn't it that attachment, Rabbi?
No, that's not attachment. Attachment is concrete, cement. That's real attachment.
Okay.
Rabbi Akiva. So now going back to Rabbi Akiva, starting today's daf. L'may hilchasa yiskash l'nida. In regards to what did you say that avodah zara is like nida l'masa? It's to say that if you carry the avodah zara, then you become impure. The same way, if you carry the nida, you become impure. Ask the Gemara. Look shalinavela. Then let the verse somewhere just compare avodah zarah to a dead carcass. Because we know a dead carcass of an animal that wasn't slaughtered. It creates impurity by carrying it. But you don't create any impurity by putting it on a stone with utensils underneath it. So the Gemara says, Enochanami, you're right. That's really true. That's really true. That's correct. So why was there a linkage between avodah zarah and nida? It should have been just to compare avodah zarah to nevela. Ella, so the reason why it's compared to nida is to say like this: my nida ain't a levarim. Just like if you cut up the pieces of a nida, the pieces of this woman don't have impurity of nida. Avodah zarah ain't a levarim. So too, if you cut up the pieces of an idol, there is no impurity to these pieces. Ask the Gemara, is that so simple? Ella, the boy Rav Chaim Bar Guria. This we're going to see in the next amud. Rav Chaim Bar Guria asked, avodah zarah, when you have an idol, yesh and levarim, ain't a levarim. If you cut up the pieces of the idol, you broke off the arm of the idol, you broke off the leg of the idol. Do those pieces of the idol create impurity? So he wasn't so sure. Tif shalama, why don't you say, based on our whole analysis, that bein l'rabbanan, bein l'rabbanan, both according to Rabbanan and Rabbi Akiva, there is a comparison of idols to nida, and therefore we say, tein levarim, just like a nida doesn't have the impurity on her, the pieces that come off of her, right? If chas v'shalom, the finger of a nida was cut off, that wouldn't have the impurity of nida on that finger. And that's why avodah zarah is compared to nida, that the pieces of avodah zarah don't have impurity. So we should say the same thing over here. And so the Gemara, Rav Chaim Bar Guria, Kiraba Masni. Rav Chaim Bar Guria, he was teaching it like Rabba, Ubayla, Ali Rabbi Akiva. And he was asking according to Rabbi Akiva. So in other words, he agreed like the idea of Rabba, that the whole argument is whether avodah zarah can create impurity on this stone when you have utensils underneath it. And therefore, his question is, according to Rabbi Akiva, who holds that avodah zarah could create impurity on the stone, so he's not comparing avodah zarah to nida to say that just like nida doesn't have impurity to its pieces, avodah zarah won't have impurity to its pieces. Then he has a question, what about avodah zarah? Will there be impurity to its pieces or not? Meisvei says the Gemara, I'll challenge you. We learned avodah zarah. We learned in a brisa. Avodah zarah is kasheretz. Avodah zarah is like a dead rodent. Mesham she'ah, the implements that serve the avodah zarah, that serve the idol, are also kasheretz, like a dead rodent. Rebbe Kiva says avodah zarah is kenida. And avodah zarah, an idol, is like a nida. Mesham she'ah, the implements that serve the avodah zarah, though, are kasheretz, are like a dead rodent. Says the Gemara, Bishmal Rebbe Lezer, I can understand according to Rebbe Lezer. Nicha, it's all understandable. Ela Rabba, but according to Rabba, Kasha, we have a problem. We have a problem. And so the Gemara Melcha Rabba will tell you like this. Mi alim masnisin, is the Braisa any more difficult than our Mishnah? The Ketani, we said in the Mishnah, Eitzav avonav afar mitzavim kisharetz. He's going to say in the Mishnah, the stones, the wood, have tumas sheretz. Ooh, can we explain? My kasheretz, what does it mean? That it's like a dead rodent. That's talking about a wall of avodah zarah. The lo matam bevin misma, that it doesn't have the ability to create impurity on the stone. So So therefore, Hachanami, here too in the Brice, when it says it's like a sheretz, all it means is it's a lomatam bevin misma. It doesn't create the impurity when it's placed on the stone, but if you would transport it, it would create impurity, just like when you transport a nita, it creates impurity.
So, Rabbi, how far you have to be from that Abu Dazara not to get Tameh?
Well, you can't touch it. According to one opinion, you can't carry it. You can't transport it. Yeah, Avodah Zarah, you have to get rid of Avodah Zarah. We have to have only faith in Hashem. Get rid of any other Avodah Zarah, any other idolatry. Just to believe in God.
The utensils underneath that stone, they're not touching that Avodah Zarah on the top of the stone. So
this is all a rabbinic impurity, because the rabbis wanted us to get away from Avodah Zarah, exactly for that point. Yeah.
That's if right. You walk by a church, we get Tameh? Is that what it is?
No, you walked by. But you know, there used to be a Jewish practice.
What about holding a cross?
Yeah, well, we learned about crosses back in Masechta Avodah Zarah, that it's not so clear that first of all, we learned that we have to examine whether Christianity is Avodah Zarah. So that's a question. Do they believe in a multiplicity of gods, or do they truly believe in one God, but they think that they're intermediaries, they're beings that help get you things to God, and maybe for non-Jews, that's not such a objectionable belief. So that's one question. A lot of the rabbis were dealing also with Catholicism, which was much more focused on the Trinity. Here in America, we confront not so much Catholicism, but much more evangelical Protestantism, which is not as focused on the Trinity, but they are very focused on the personality of Oso Ish, on Jesus. So there are lots of questions whether Christianity is considered Avodah Zarah or not. I do believe, if I recall, when we learned Masechta Avodah Zarah, that most poskim, I think the Rama says, that a jewelry designer is allowed to sell crosses made of gold or silver, because he said that at least in the heads of the people who buy it, their religious beliefs are so diluted that it's basically just jewelry. So it's a fashion statement.
What about a Buddha?
So a Buddha wouldn't be Avodah Zarah, because the Buddhas, I don't think they believe in God at all. It's just to look for enlightenment. But I think yoga would be a very big problem, because yoga, I think, comes from India. And the Indians, I think, are true Ovdei Avodah Zarah. I mean, they have many, many gods, and they believe in all these gods. So I think yoga is very problematic. Buddhism, I think, is less. But Buddhism is more about, enlightenment and understanding. I'm not sure there's any belief system there in terms of a higher power. But yoga, which comes literally from Avodah Zarah, from all sorts of spirits and gods, I think that could be much more problematic. I've never heard of a big, Gadol B'Yisrael who was supportive of yoga. Never heard of that. I think because of where it comes from, it's not so not from good provenance as far as we're concerned.
The rabbi, Jews should not even do any kind of yoga.
Well, I don't know. I'm not such an expert in yoga, but I just like the deep involved ideology. The ideology comes from Avodah Zarah. Breathing exercises, stretches. I don't know that that's Avodah Zarah necessarily, but. But the ideology, where that comes from, it doesn't come from a good place. Okay, going back to, says the Gemara, Mesve, we learned in a Braisa, Nachri v'Nachris, a non-Jew male, a non-Jewish female, Avodah Zarah Mishamshea, idols and the implements that serve idols, Hain, they are impure, V'lo has Satan, but not their movement. It sounds like, if you move them, they don't create any impurity. Rabbi Akiva says, Bishmal Rabbi Lazar, according to Rabbi Lazar, Nicha, this is understandable. El Rabba, but according to Rabba, who said that both according to the Chacham and Rabbi Akiva, if you carry an Avodah Zarah, it creates impurity. So Kashi, here it says that it doesn't create impurity. Amal Charab, Rabbi will tell you, and according to your logic, Nachri v'Nachris Nami, when it talks about a Gentile male or a Gentile female, Hein velo esetan. So they themselves create impurity, but not if you move them. Well, tan bulundin abraisa. The verse says, Dabru b'nei Yisrael, tell the Jewish people about the impurity of Zav. And our sages say, b'nei Yisrael matam b'ziva. That tells you that Jewish man can become impure with the discharge of Ziva. Vein nachrin mitam b'ziva. But non-Jews cannot become impure with Ziva. Avol gazra lehem. But the sages made a decree, sheyu kezavim l'chol derveim, that the non-Jews will be like a Zav. So just like a Zav, if he sits on something or moves something, he makes it impure. If the non-Jew sits on something or moves it, he'll make it impure. So one second, we just said that non-Jews do not create impurity through movement. Elas, it says the Gemara, Rabba metaretz l'tame. Rabba will resolve this according to his logic. And say like this, Nachri v'nachris, a non-Jewish male or female, hein v'heseitan, both they and what they move. And Evan Mismashalahem, and if they sit on this stone, they create impurity to the things that are underneath the stone. Avodah Zarah, when you talk about an idol, it itself is impure. Haseita, if you move it, the things that it causes to move, if you move it, you also become impure. Avalo Evan Mismashalah, but Avodah Zarah, put on a stone, would not create impurity underneath the stone. Rabbi Akiva says, Avodah Zarah, it itself is impure. Ve'aseitan, and but the Avodah Zarah, when you move the Avodah Zarah, it creates impurity. Ve'evan mismashallah, as well as when you put it on the stone. Rabbi Lez will explain, based on his logic, based on his opinion, he'll say like this, Nachri v'nachris, a non-Jewish male or a non-Jewish female, Hain, both they are impure. Ve'aseitan, and when they are moved, it creates impurity. And you put them on a stone, what's underneath them is also impure. Whereas Avodah Zarah, whereas in regards to an idol, it itself is impure. Below Haseita, but not when you move the idol does it create impurity. Whereas Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva holds, Avodah Zarah, the idol, it itself is impure. Haseita, and when you move it, it creates impurity. One second, I see there are a couple questions here in the chat. What are the questions? But Avodah Zarah in your house is not tummy like a dead body, correct? Right. The impurity from the roof, that the roof would transfer impurity, that only exists with a dead body. Now, don't you think that by saying that someone cannot do yoga, it's exactly like saying someone cannot run a marathon? No, I think there's a big difference. A marathon is exercise. You know, it's good to do exercise, but yoga, there's a whole ideology behind the yoga. And I think that the ideology is very problematic, where the ideology comes from. It's coming from Avodah Zarah. The marathon is to run, to do exercise. That's always a good thing. But the ideologies of Avodah Zarah, you know, I'm very suspect about those ideologies.
Rabbi.
Yeah, please, a question.
Sorry, Rabbi. If the jeweler sell the
crosses,
something like sun, some people worship sun.
Mm, yeah.
So they can sell that?
No, I think it's okay. Again, most people who are buying those things are not doing it out of real worship. They're just doing it, for the beauty of it. So I don't think there'd be a problem to sell those things, personally. So again, Maskef Ravashi. Ravashi asked, "My Hain, why did the Brisa say that these things create impurity? Of course, it creates impurity. Right? Why do you have to say they create impurity? Elam Ravashi. So therefore, Ravashi said like this. Hachikam. This is the way to read the Brisa. Nachri v'nachris, a non-Jewish man or a non-Jewish female." Bein hein sheisitu es acherim, whether they make other people move, uvein acherim sheisitu osan, or whether others make them move, because others carried them, tmeim, there is impurity. However, Avodah Zarah, when you talk about an idol, sheisitu acherim, if the idol makes other people move, tahorin, those people are tahar. Aha, okay. If the idol makes other things move, then the person is tahar. However, acherim shesitu otan, if other people carry the idol, tzmeim, they become impure. However, misham shel, the implements of the Avodah Zarah, bein hein, shehesitu es acherim, whether the implements cause other things to move, uvin acherim shehesitu osan, or people make the implements move, tohorim, the people are tahor. Rabbi Akiva says, Nachri v'nachris, a non-Jewish man or a non-Jewish woman, an avodah zara and an idol, bein hein shehesitu es acherim, whether they make other things move, uvin acherim shehesitu osan, or whether others make them move, tmeim, they are impure. However, misham sheha, the implements of avodah zara, bein hein shehesitu acherim, whether they are making other things move, uvin acherim shehesitu osan, or whether others are making them move, tahorin, they are tahor. So now the Gemara asks, avodah zara bishlam acherim shehesitu osan. When you talk about avodah zara, an idol, I can understand people moving it, people carry it. Mishkachasla. How do you have an idol moving other people? How does an idol move people? I'm Rami Rav Yeva. So Rami, the son of Rav Yeva, said, I'll tell you how. If the idol is a weight, we learned in a brisa. Hazav, let's say you have a zav, the kaf moznaim on one side of the scales. And you have food and drink on the other side of the scale. So now the zav, he's a weight. Kara hazav. If the Zav, you know, kneeled, put his weight down, so it causes the liquids to move up. So now it's made. The liquids become tummy because the Zav moved them. Now turning to Pei Gimel and Mebeis, Karuhain, but if the liquids push the Zav up, Tahorin, so then they are Tahor. Okay. Says the Gemara, Kaman Azla Hodatanya, like who is the following Brisa like? It says, Kala Tmeos Hamasitos Tahoros. All the kol atumos hamasitos, all the tumos that make things move on a scale, tahoros, they are tahor. Chutz me seto shel zav, except for the zav, making the zav move. Shalom atzino lo chaver b'chol haTorah kula, because we never found anything like that. Like a Zav, that because he makes something move, it creates impurity. Lamed lo Rabbi Akiva. So this price should be against Rabbi Akiva. The Rabbi Akiva can have avodah zara. Because according to Rabbi Akiva, we also have avodah zara. If it makes something move by being on the side of a scale, it creates impurity. If you attend Rabbi Akiva, can you be Rabbi Akiva? Tana Zav, achal d'damile. You should say Zav and things like it create impurity by making things move. Okay, now the Gemara, what you had seen earlier. By Rav Chama Bar Guri. Rav Chama Bar Guri asked the question. Avodah zara, when you have an idol, Yeshen Leivarim, this impurity about the idol, does the impurity apply to the pieces that are cut off of the idol? O Eina Leivarim, or does it not apply to the pieces cut off of the idol? So the Gemara says like this, Heichad Hadjit Yachalach Zira, where an individual can put the pieces back together, Loti Bayalach, then certainly the pieces are like the idol, to command a Machaber Stami, it's as if it's all connected. Kiti Bayalach, the question will be, Heichad Eina Hadjit Yachalach Zira, where the individual can't put it back together, My, what's the law? Kivan ein hedjit yachal achzira, since the individual can't put it back together. Keman de mitzvah adami, it's as if it's broken and it's not avodah zara anymore. Ol dilmar maybe, Allah michzira, you still have the pieces. So the whole thing is here. Ikad de baylal hachkisa. Some ask the question the other way. Heichad ein hedjit yachal achzira. If you have an idol broken into pieces and it's impossible to put these pieces back together, lo tibayalach, it shouldn't be a question. The keman de mitzvah adami, because that's as if it's considered broken apart. Kiti Bailach, where is the question? Heichad Hadjit Yachal Achzira, where the individual could put it back together. My, what's the law? Kevan de Hadjit Yachal Achzira, since an individual could put it back together. Command a Machabra Dami, is it considered as if they're attached? Al Dumar, maybe Hashtamiya, Kashalfa, Visharya. Or maybe now, right now it's deconnected, and therefore now it's allowed. It's the Gemara, Teku, we don't know the answer. All right, again, talking about this law that an idol creates impurity. And we know this is a rabbinic law. We're trying to parallel it. Are we paralleling it to the impurity of Sheretz? Are we paralleling it to the impurity of Nevela? Paralleling it to the impurity of Nida? So that's the Gemara. Boy, Rav Achadvoy Bar Ami. Rav Achadvoy Bar Ami asked, Avodah Zara, when you have idols, Pchusa Mikazayis, that are smaller than an egg. I'm not smaller than an olive, right? Smaller than an olive. We know how we brought up earlier the impurity in a room. If you have a dead body, The impurity rises from the dead body, goes to the roof, and spreads throughout the entire room. Everything in the room becomes impure. That's the impurity of a dead body. To create that impurity, to transmit that impurity, you have to have a certain amount of dead body. You have to have an olive worth of dead body in the room. What about Avodah Zar? You have this tiny idol, an idol the size of an olive. Does that transmit impurity? If you touch such an idol, if you move such an idol, if you have that idol move you, if you put that idol on your seat, does that create impurity when it's a little idol the size of a little olive? Mahu. What happens if it's smaller than an olive? What's the law? So Maskefler of Yosef. Rav Yosef said, Lamai, in regards to what question? Ilim Lini Yisura, if you're going to talk about, are you not allowed to worship an idol smaller than an olive? Lo Yehe Ela Kizvuv Bal Ekron. Let this be like the idols of the Philistines. The idols of the Philistines, their little idol was a little fly. When I was in high school, I read a book called Lord of the Flies. Lord of the Flies, that book, is based on this Gemara. There was an idol called Zvuv, the fly. This was the idol of Ekron. Ekron is one of the places on the flat plains near Gaza. Zvuv Bal Ekron. And this is what Rav Tal spoke about during the disengagement in 2005. So that idol was a little fly. So if it's the size of a fly, they would make this fly out of gold and hold it, you know, around their neck and take it out and kiss it, put it back in their chest. So this little fly that they worship clearly was prohibited. It was the big idol of the Philistines. So there's no question that a tiny idol, you're not allowed to worship. That's what the Gemara is going to say. Lo yeh lo kizvub bal ekron, the time of the b'raisa. Vayasimu lehem bal bris lelohim. They made for themselves a god. And what's the name of that? What was the god? The god was Bal Bris. Now, what is Bal Bris? Explains the Braisa, Zezvuv Bal Ekron. This is the little fly of Ekron. Malami, this teaches you, Shekol Echad Ve'echad Asad Musir Aso. Each one would make for himself this idol of a fly. Umanicha Betoch Kiso. And he would put it inside his pocket. Ve'keman Shezochra. And when he would think of it, Motziah Mitoch Kiso. He would take this idol out of his pocket. Umachabka. He would hug it. Umenashka, and he would kiss it. So without question, you're not allowed to worship an idol that's small, because the big idols in the days of King David were the idols the size of the flies that the Philistines had in their pockets. Ella, so the Gemara says, our question again is not in regards to whether you can worship such an idol. Of course you can't. Linyan Tuma, it's about what we're discussing, the impurity. My, came with this, because do we say that since this impurity is compared to the dead rodent impurity, just like the dead rodent impurity is only when it's the size of a lentil bean. Maybe idols only create impurity when they're the size of a lentil bean. Maybe it's compared to a dead body. And therefore, mames b'kazayis, just like a dead body creates impurity when it's the size of an olive. Avodah zarah also only when it's the size of a kazayis, the size of an olive. Amar Ravavaya v'yitema Rabba Bar Ula. Ravavaya said something Rabba Bar Ula said. Tashma, come here, proof. The time of the Braisa, Avodah Zarah Shepchusa Mikazayas. If you have an idol that's less than a Kazayas, Ein Batuma Kol Ikar, then there is no impurity to it. Shenamar, the verse says, Vayashlech Es Afara Al Kever Bnei Ha'am. He threw her dirt on the grave of the people of the city. So therefore, it tells you like this, Mameis Mikazayas. Just, it's comparing the Avodah Zarah to the graves, so just like a dead body. It's only an olive worth which would create impurity. Avodah Zarah, so too, idols only create impurity when they are the size of a kazayas. So I just want to share this idea that Rav Tal shared during the disengagement to give encouragement to the religious Zionist movement. He said that Rav Kook here in this Gemara asks, how could people worship a little fly? How is that possible? When you talk about Avodah Zarah, it's religion. Religion is always something bigger than oneself. It's something that a person sacrifices for. It's something that is ideals, ultimate values. How could it be that people are worshiping a little fly, and each one has his own personal fly that he keeps in his pocket, and whenever he thinks of it, he takes out the fly, he kisses it, he puts it back in. So Rav Kook explains that what the Gemara is telling us is that the way God made human beings, God put in each human being a piece of himself. So each human being by nature has a soul, and the soul pulls the human being to all sorts of wonderful values because God lives these values. God is the source of life. God is the source of compassion. God is the one who makes peace. Oseh shalom bimromav. He makes peace above. God is the peacemaker. God is the life giver. God cares for the orphan and the widow. God is strong. He's mighty. So God emanates so many wonderful, wonderful qualities. And every human being has a soul which is a piece of God. So a human being by nature, by the very nature of a human being, has an attraction to try to also exemplify some of these wonderful qualities of the Almighty. Now here becomes the challenge. Is a human being going to exercise discipline? Is he going to try to really reach to do all the things God wants him to do? Is he going to be open to serving God? Or is the human being going to say, you know what, that's too much for me. I don't want to really be a servant of God. I'm going to take one aspect of all these great values. It's an aspect that I happen to like. It happens to work well for me. And that becomes my whole religion. That becomes that becomes religion for me. And there's nothing else. And once somebody does that, then you can't challenge that person with facts. That's the religion. It doesn't matter if the data doesn't work anymore. This is the religion. So every person needs to have religion. Every person needs to have faith, because we have to live for something bigger than ourselves. We have to, because we're a piece of God. We have a soulful piece. But if we are directed through Torah, through the set of rules that God himself gave, and doing what God wants, so our religion is healthy. If we don't have the direction of Torah, so our religion is not going to be healthy. We're not following the way God himself said to do. But people's urges lead them to some type of religion. So the Gemara says, you know what the religion can become? It can become a fly. It can become the smallest thing. And that's the religion. That's what the person believes in. He has it in his pocket, and that's the religion. So Rav Tao said he felt that to give away Gaza, to tell a bunch of terrorists here, take a piece of the land of Israel, and I hope you'll change. There was no deal. There was no reason to think that they would change. And to say, all these wonderful Jews, pull out. It was, to him, it was beyond logic. So what was the only way he could understand it? It was that it was coming from a religious belief. That there was a religious belief that no matter what, Jews controlling or Jews being in Gaza was wrong. It wasn't working. It was too hard. People were dying. If we just walk out, it's going to be okay. Even though there were so many reasons to wonder whether that would be true or not. It was this ideology of Baal Zvuv. People had come on to a certain ideology and they were stuck in the ideology. But he said that's what gave him encouragement. Because the same forces within the population that were pushing to walk away from Gaza, at the end of the day, what's the root of it? A desire for peace. A desire for good things. We all want peace. So it's coming from a good place. It's just that it's a religion that's being misdirected. But the fact that there is a desire for religion, that's a wonderful thing. So it's going to work out. It's going to work out. There's no way that the religion of the fly can ever satisfy the Jewish soul. The religion of peace cannot satisfy the Jewish soul. The religion is to serve God. And therefore, the members of those communities that were so devastated that they were being pulled out and Israel was leaving should not give up hope at all. On the contrary, they should realize that their brethren who were doing this to them were really coming out of a place of a desire for peace, but an excess desire for peace, a misunderstanding of what would create peace, an unwillingness to be open to that maybe it wouldn't create peace, but they really wanted peace. And since they're looking for peace and they really do want to serve God because they come from a religious place, it's just a miscast religion. It's going to work out. In the end, that inner soul will come out. And the solution, said Rav Tao, is to walk out of Gaza with heads held high, not to fight, not to resist the soldiers, to hug the soldiers, and to move from Gaza, from settling the sands of Gaza, into settling into the hearts of fellow Jews, and to show the fellow Jews in Israel that religious Jews love them, that religious Zionists love them, and together to rebuild, because it is coming from a good place. It is coming deep down from the religious inclination that's being misdirected. Anyway, this was what Rav Tal said in the midst of the disengagement 15 years ago. But again, some of these principles can always be applied to all sorts of ideological arguments and friction. What Rav Kook is suggesting is people make out of their ideology a religion, a faith. It's very hard to reason with a believer, with someone who's sure this is their faith. But we should realize that all of that is also good. It comes from a deep place. It comes from the fact that the soul needs faith. And so a false faith or an insufficient faith inevitably will eventually lead to the real faith. So we have to have trust in the goodness of our fellow Jews, and to keep appealing to that goodness, and Bezrat Hashem will see that it will all come out. Okay, going back to the issues of the Gemara. The Gemara of Rabban, now according to the Rabbanan, Lamai Hilchasa Itkash L'Sheret, in regards to what is Avodah Zarah compared to a dead rodent. Says the Gemara, Deloma Tami B'Masa, to tell you that it doesn't create impurity when you carry it. L'Nida, in regards to what is Avodah Zarah compared to a Nida, that's to say that it doesn't create impurity when it's broken up into pieces. And lemeis, in regards to what is avodah zarah compared to a dead body, it doesn't create impurity when it's only the size of a lentil. It only creates impurity when it's the size of an olive. Ask the Gemara, Eimel l'chumra, why don't you interpret these comparisons to be strict and say like this, in regards to what is an idol compared to a dead rodent, that is the tamuyik b'kadasha, that it does create impurity even when it's only a lentil. Avodah Zarah is compared to a nida, to say the tamuyik b'evin misma, that it does create impurity when it's on the stone and utensils underneath it. And actually, rachman alameis, and maybe Hashem compares Avodah Zarah to the dead body, the tamuyik b'oel, to create impurity in a tent. Says the Gemara, no, tumas Avodah Zarah j'rabbanan hi. The tumah of idols is only rabbinic, and therefore, lekula versus lechumra, when we have a question, should we interpret it as a leniency or as a stringency? Lekula makshinan, we interpret it in a lenient way. Lechumra lo makshinan, we don't interpret things in a strict way. Okay, now moving on to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah is dealing with a boat made out of earthenware. It says the Mishnah, minayin l'sfina shitora. How do I know that a boat does not have the ability to become impure? Shenamar, because the verse says again in Mishlei, this is again a rabbinic law, Derech Aniya Belev Yam. It's the way of the boat in the heart of the sea. So just like the sea is pure, the boat is pure. So Gemara says, Pshita, it's obvious, Aniya Belev Yam. The verse says that the boat is in the heart of the sea. Of course, the boat goes into the sea, it's not on the land. So Gemara says, HaKamash, this is what it's teaching us, Kiyam, it's like the sea. Mayam Tahor, just like the sea is pure, Asfina Tahora, so too a boat is pure. Omer Chananya says, another source, no madam isak, we can derive the fact that a boat is pure from the law of a sackcloth bag. Masak mitaltum oliveraikum, just like a sackcloth bag, which can become impure, it's only because you can carry it when it's empty and full. If you can't carry it when it's full, it's not a bag. You only make a bag to be able to carry stuff when it's full. So therefore, afkol, whenever you talk about utensils, only if it's mitalti moliverekon, only if it's something which you can carry full or empty, lafuke svina, to exclude a boat, deina mitaltelas moliverekon, where you can't carry it full or empty, because if it's full, you can't carry it. If you fill up the boat with sand, you couldn't carry it. It's too thick, you can't carry it. All right, my benai, what's the difference whether we derive the fact that a boat is pure from the fact that it's compared to the ocean, or you derive the fact that a boat is pure because you can't transport it when it's filled with stuff? Hence the Gemara, the difference would be Svina Shel Cheretz, if you have a boat of earthenware. Mandarmani Abulev Yam, the one who says a boat in the heart of the sea. Hanan Bidlev Yami, that's also in the heart of the sea. Mandarmar Kasak, the one who says it's like sackcloth. Hanak Tachsibi Gabe Sak, when Di'i Mitzaltelos Malivirekon in. So the things that are compared to sackcloth, yes, they have to be things that you can carry them when they're full or empty. And Elo, and if you can't carry them when they're full, although they don't become impure, Avosfina Shalcheres, born, you have a boat made of earthenware. It's not compared to sackcloth. Therefore, Af Gavne Ein Mitzvah Tellus Malibu Reikon, even though you can't carry it full and empty, it does not create impurity. It cannot become impure. Inam Yotenervli, says the Gemara. Another difference would be Sfinas HaYardin, a boat of wood that you use on small rivers, like the Jordan River, so that you can carry even if it's filled with stuff. If you're going to say any boat that goes into the middle of the ocean is pure, so this also goes into the middle of an ocean, be pure. But according to the one who says it's something which is carried full and empty, this is also something which can be carried full, and therefore it would have the ability to become impure. Why did they say that the small little boats that go through the Jordan River are tameh? Because they actually carry it. They fill it up on the dry land, and they fill it and they bring it to the sea when it's already full. So you see that you can carry it when it's full. All right, now another lesson. A person should never hold himself back from coming to the yeshiva to learn. Even for one moment, because for many years this lesson was taught by Beis HaMedrash. But we didn't understand why the boat can become tameh. Until Chanina ben Akavya came and explained that it's something which can be carried while it's full, and that's why it can become impure. So you should always be in the Beis HaMedrash. You'll pick up new information. Rabbi Yonason said, La'olam al yimna adam es atzmo be Beis HaMedrash. A person should never hold himself back from coming to the yeshiva and midivrei Torah. He shouldn't hold himself back from learning Torah. V'afilu b'shas misa, even when he's dying, he should be busy learning Torah. Shneimer, it says, Zos haTorah, this is the Torah. Adam kiyamos ba'ohel, a person who will die in the tent. V'afilu b'shas misa, even at the time of death, tehei osik b'Torah, he should be busy involved with Torah. Amrei Shlakish said, Ein divrei Torah miskayim, a different lesson. The words of Torah only last. El b'misha memes atzma aleh, someone who will kill himself for the sake of Torah. As it says, Zos HaTorah, this is the Torah, Adam Kiyamas Pa'ohol, a person who will die in the tent, who will kill himself for the sake of the Torah. Only in such a person does Torah last. All right, thank you all very much. This is a good introduction for Shavuos, that we have to apply ourselves to Torah. Adam Kiyamas Pa'ohol, even if it takes effort for the Torah, we have to always be learning Torah, Afilu B'Shas Misa, even at the moment of death to be learning Torah, to never leave the Beis HaMedrash. What could be a better introduction for the holiday of Shavuos, which is coming up? And of course, as we see, the Daf Hayomi always gives us the guidance exactly for what we need to hear every single day. Everyone should have a wonderful day, and Bezrat Hashem will make up the Dafim of Shavuos after Shavuos.
Thank you.
Direction in the